What's up? Welcome to episode 350 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Izzy.
Yo.
He's back. And Messiah.
Hello.
Hello. Here we all are. We have some more sales going on. I missed the one from last week. It was the remasters and retro sale, which I don't know how I missed it in the store. But it's basically all the remaster games. So Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is on sale. Let me see how much you get the book because I've already bought it. So it's 50% off. So that one's $20. The Spyro Reignited Trilogy, Bloodstained. I don't know why Bloodstained. I guess because it's retro. I mean, it's not visually retro, but that's on sale.
It's Dark retro style.
I guess, yeah. Retro gameplay, maybe. Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, Borderlands Game of the Year Edition, Dark Souls Remastered. That's $24. Game Classics, Aladdin, and The Lion King are on sale. Let's see. Castlevania Anniversary Collection, Contra Collection, Prototypes, Catherine Full Body, Ni No Kuni.
A lot of these aren't retro. A lot of these aren't even retro style.
Well, it's remasters and retro. That's why, because Bloodstained isn't a remaster, but I don't necessarily consider it retro because it doesn't look retro. Like that Metroidvania, I guess just because it's a side-scroller Metroidvania, like that makes it instantly retro. But like, yeah, Prototype on here, the remastered bundle. RE2 is on sale. Let's see, that one is 67% off. So you get that one for $23, and that's the deluxe edition. Metro Redux is on sale, a bunch of Bully, GTA, the Trilogy, a bunch of stuff. Yeah, so definitely go check that out. A lot of remasters on there that are discounted. I could see possibly picking some up. Like, you can get DMC4 SE Demon Hunter bundle for $9. But a lot of Mega Mans, of course. A lot of Capcom stuff on here. Onimusha Warlords, 40% off. But check it out. There's also the Critics' Choice sale going on right now. This is up to 50% off. This goes till the 18th. The previous one goes till the 22nd. So this is all stuff like, you know, Sekiro, Death Stranding. It's basically all the hits. It's almost like the same sale during, I guess, the Game Awards. It's just now it's called the Critic Choice. So you can get, what were you going to say?
She said, oh, hell.
Oh, hell, yeah. So, like, Sekiro's $35 off, 35% off. So you can get that for $39. Death Stranding is, I wish I could at least see the percentages up front. That's also 40% off, so you can get that one for $36. And then, yeah, Marvel Spider-Man, Borderlands 3, Red Dead 2, Control. Yeah, a bunch of stuff. And it's all, like, of course, the deluxe editions of each of these things, too. Crash Team Racing Nitro Refueled. I should pick that up because I really want to play that. We all should play that. I want to play a game. But
I know. You're so sad.
I'd like to play. I'm not sad. What sucks is, like, so since that's basically covering the sales is I was excited that there's this board game. I've been watching this Twitch group and they've been playing a bunch of board games, and one of the ones they were playing was Ticket to Ride, and I was like, oh, well, it's available on Steam. It's only like $10. I'm like, oh, I could just buy it for the three of us, then we can play Ticket to Ride. But I noticed they have it on PS4, and I was like, oh, sweet, it's on PS4. It's a little more, but it's like whatever. But it has PlayLink support. It's one of the PlayLink games back, you know, during 2018 when they really pushed those. So, like, almost every board game on PS4 is essentially just a digital version that's PlayLink. So you can't play them actually online. Like, the only way I guess you could is if I bought it, streamed it at the lowest delay possible, and then you guys just connect on your phone. Like, you download the app on your phone and then connect to the game and just watch the stream and play. Because you don't necessarily need to even see the TV, because all your main stuff is on your phone anyways.
Which is a shame, because Ticket to Ride is a fucking great game.
Yeah, I watched it play. I'm like, man, I really want to play this game. And what's also really weird is that the PlayLink games, when I looked them up on PS4, there's a ton of them. A lot of them's like simple stuff like chess, checkers, Connect Four. I think Connect Four might actually be one of them. And then, like, there's Uno standalone, of course. But all the PlayLink games require you to download the PlayLink app. But they're each individually unique to the games. They're not like one PlayLink hub that has the support for each of them within the app, which is really obnoxious to me, because I'm like, why would you just give like the app code to do this to each person and not centralize it on, you know, I mean, it's a free app, so I don't know why you wouldn't just, you know, group them together. But yeah, I might pick it up on PS4 and then like have like you join Isley and see how it works versus like streaming and then connecting on your phone, because I assume it's like it should work that way. But yeah,
it's it like might not be horrible connecting on your phone, but it's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, that's not really like a, it's not a quick, I mean, essentially it's like if you had cards in your hand, you just throw on your phone, and then it's also cheaper than if I bought, plus, well, like I said, it's cheaper if I bought it the one version than buying three versions. Granted, of course, that would mean that you could each play independently doing other stuff, but I don't know when that would happen. Like, I wouldn't be like, hey, I'll just log into this and play some randos. But yeah, I wish there was more. I like there's a lot of board games on there. I just wish like we had our own tabletop sim, like on Steam, because there's a lot of stuff in there. Like, granted, I wouldn't want to play Ticket to Ride on tabletop sim because it's way more involved. You have to put all the little pieces down. Like, I like the standalone game because at least it automates a lot of that stuff. But yeah, so that's, I'll have to try that out to see how the PlayLink experience goes. But yeah, as far as new releases, I didn't see anything pop on the store. Let's see, games, new releases. Yeah, nothing. I think Zombie Army 4 came out this week. Zombie Army Dead War 4. It's the spinoff series from Sniper Elite.
What?
You never knew?
Sniper Zombies?
Yeah, no.
You never knew about Zombie Army?
It's no.
Like back. It's essentially it was like this weird spin-off.
I need to say this slowly one last time.
No.
What is it called?
It's called Zombie Army 4.
Okay, I thought you were
Dead
saying
War.
Zombie Army. Like, you were saying it so quick, I thought it was like Zombie Army.
There's a Zombie Army. We got this damn Zombie Army over here. But no, it's Zombie Army. So it's like essentially the Nazis, you know, all their cult stuff. They get a bunch of zombies. Hitler's a zombie. You kill him in Zombie Army 3. And there's like a bunch of other supernatural stuff. And this was supposed to be really good. It's been like a fun little spinoff that Rebellion's been doing, where it's still got that same sniper and gameplay mechanics, very much like a horde mode styled stuff as well. Kind of set up shop. 4 is apparently supposed to be like the best of them. Has a lot of awesome game mechanics and some better, I guess, creature variety. But I've never actually purchased or played in them, but I've seen them and I've been aware of the franchise for a while. But I mean, I like Sniper Elite a lot, but this is because it's more of a co-op focused game, so granted you can play them single player, but I never had anybody to play co-op on Sniper Elite, even though I'd love to.
Oh my god, you're really laying the guilt trip on thick, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I don't have anybody playing a game.
Never had any friends to play with.
No, I wants the game. But that's I think the only new thing, because of course we talked about Patapon 2 last time, but that came out on the Friday, and Journey to the Savage Planet was last week as well, so was PoE Deadfire Ultimate Edition. So I think that's it, because yeah, Kentucky Route Zero TV Edition came out last week as well, so nothing big this week. But yeah, we can go ahead and just jump into the news. We had, because it was all the financial reports come in because the quarter's closed out and everything's done for December, like everybody waits to report on that big quarter end. But everybody's doing all these financial calls, and Activision on their financial call teased that they have several remasters and reimagined experiences coming in 2020. So and they also said they're going to have Call of Duty, of course. But considering they had, you know, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, Crash Team Nitro Fueled, and Spyro Reignited Trilogy, I'm curious what else they'll do that's going to be remastered. Hopefully not just Call of Duty's. Like, what else do they have?
Well, didn't the picture just show Crash?
Well, it's like the picture was just like for, I think people just used for not marketing, but like just the stories themselves. Like they just,
okay, because I saw that and I definitely got the impression it was just Crash, and I was like, well, that's been remastered before, so
yes,
you know,
yeah. I don't think they remastered that, but I don't know what.
Cool, else. Guys.
Let's see. I'd have to guess, look and see what IPs they own, and I guess maybe who else they publish for, because I'm not aware of that. But yeah, I'm wondering what else they could possibly do, but they do say reimagined experiences, so I don't know what that means. But
reimagined experiences, that's such like bullshit.
Such a weird, it's all, of course, it's all like, you know, investor speak, like, yeah, we got some good stuff down the pipeline, give us money. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously they did well with all those three games I mentioned, the Crash Team Racing, Crash Bandicoot, and the Spyro games. Those remasters are awesome. So
I mean, they're good games. It's just, it's not what I would make an announcement for, because they're all old games that I've played many times before and have been remastered before.
Right. But I mean, if you're saying like, hey, we got some more remasters and reimagined experiences coming, and you have this track record you laid out in 2019, you know, and I think Insane Trilogy came out 2018 maybe, or early 2019. But it's like, hey, look at these three that we had that were awesome. Everybody loves them and they sold really well. It's like, there's going to be more of that. I just don't know what it's going to be. But we'll see. We also had some sales numbers for Take-Two during their earnings call. They talked about how The Outer Worlds sold 2 million units. A little lower than I thought it would have been a little higher, because I felt like everybody's kind of really enjoying the game. But I guess, I mean, 2 million is not like nothing to sneeze at. But and then Borderlands 3 sold 8 million units. So those are some good numbers to see. And then we had Ubisoft on their financial conference call. They were talking about how they were praising, basically, just like we talked about last week, how EA was praising how PS5 and Xbox Series X are going to, you know, do amazing things. It was kind of the same stuff with Ubisoft, where they're saying it's got really high potential. And let's see here if they have any specific... Yeah, they just talked about potential being real high and how they're very impressed with what's going on. They obviously didn't go into super details, because you can't talk about stuff that's not already known, that's been said by Microsoft or Sony. Just another developer or studio publisher saying that they're excited about the next gen, so we'll see. They also said they'll release 3 AAA games between September and December 2020, and 2 between January and March 2021. So we know, obviously, they pushed Watch Dogs and their other stuff. So we figure between September and December, it's going to be Assassin's Creed and then 2 other games. Then we'll have January through March, probably going to be Far Cry, because that's the Far Cry's always, they tend to like to launch. Outside of 3, which launched in December, recent Far Cry's have all been launching in Q1 of the year. So we'll see. They've got a lot of stuff. Yeah, because they delayed Watch Dogs, Gods and Monsters, and the Rainbow Six Quarantine. But yeah, I'm curious what other game's going to be announcing. And I saw this thing about this game called Ari. It's called Daymare 1998. Apparently it was supposed to be a Resident Evil 2, like, fan remake kind of thing that got shut down by Capcom because they were going to do Resident Evil 2, the actual remake. But it's going to release now as kind of like a... What was that?
I killed a fly.
Oh my god, how
rude. It
flew
in front of my face and I smushed it with my bare hands.
Oh no.
Onto your face?
No, not onto my face. But I got it. I just want you guys to know I got it. And I think I see another one. So if you hear another clap, it may or may not be a hit or miss.
Okay. So I'm going to read. This is from Twinfinite, talking about Daymare 98. So publishers Destructive Creations, All In Games, and developer Invader Studios have today confirmed the release date for Daymare 1998 console launch. The survival horror, which is heavily inspired by Capcom's Resident Evil series, will arrive on PS4 and Xbox One this spring, April 28th. Slipgate Studios has been working on the console port of the game, which launched in September of last year. So I guess on PC, it was on there, but let's see. Man, I haven't heard anything. If it came out on PC, it must not have been a big splash. Let's continue there. For those not up to speed with Daymare 1988, it's a third-person survival horror game in the vein of Capcom's Resident Evil series. It features the same emphasis on ammunition and item scarcity, encouraging players to carefully manage their inventory and resources. It uses the same over-the-shoulder perspective as the recent Resident Evil 2 remake. The game's story tells the tale of a small town turned into a dead zone after a deadly chemical is accidentally released from a nearby research facility. Players are tasked with taking down the monstrosities that now walk the streets. So basically, yeah, because obviously if it started as an RE2 thing and then they kind of shut it down, you just kind of, well, it's still going to be just kind of an outbreak of some weird virus in my facility. So I'll be curious to see how that does. Maybe I'll go back and like click a PC reviews just see what it looks like. We also got news that Below will be, it got its release window for PS4 after the year of exclusivity on Microsoft's console. Let's see here. So the developer Capybara's roguelike Below is coming to PS4 this spring following just over a year of exclusivity on Microsoft's platform. So this spring, if I remember right, didn't it kind of review just okay? I think
I don't even remember hearing about it, so it obviously wasn't some kind of like phenomenon or anything.
I feel like when I listen to, because I listen to IGN's Podcast Unlocked just to hear, you know, up on Xbox and see what Xbox is doing, and I believe when it came out, like, they, I think they gave it like a 7 maybe, and they talk about like, because it was, I distinctly remember it being what, because it was one of those games that was took forever to come out. And then it was just like, when it came out, I was like, yeah, it's okay. But I think what they're doing with this new version that they're coming out with is going to have some new, a new mode, like an explore mode, which is what people wanted. I think it was the base mode it had was a little too unforgiving for some people, I think is what it was. I guess, but yeah, I'll have to see. I'd have to go back and look at reviews. But I think it was kind of like, you know, just like it was good. It was good, you know, nothing crazy, but there's that if you're looking forward one to play it on a you know PS4. And then you are probably familiar with this because I have no idea what they are, but are Nendoroids essentially just like Funko Pops?
Yeah, but they just have more like detailed. They're like little teeny tiny figures, and they're like, they come with like accessories. You can swap out their facial expressions and sometimes like their hair and stuff like that. They're like little teeny tiny Figmas.
Yeah, they look like if Funko Pops were actually just chibi versions of the people that they are versus just this weird, you know, big head simplified body kind of thing. Because they're doing one for Death Stranding for Sam Porter Bridges. He's getting one.
It's so cute. I want it.
Yeah, and he has a bunch of different accessories.
Do you want it, JCM?
No. I mean, if they had, like...
Okay, you can admit it.
No. I mean, I guess if they had all of them, like, if they had him, Cliff, you know, Higgs, Fragile, Mama, everybody, Lachna, all the people, I guess that'd be kind of cool to have like a set, but I don't know about just the one. But yeah, that's gonna be coming out. So if you want that, it's only $47, I guess.
It's pretty standard for the Android.
Yeah, the standard version is $47. The Great Deliverer version is roughly $80.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll launch in August later this year. Let's see. The and other news that wasn't surprising at all. They confirmed that the Final Fantasy VII Remake exclusivity period will get delayed to April 10th, 2021 because the game got delayed. It's like, well, yeah, if you have a year exclusivity and the game gets delayed, you're going to push that exclusivity as well. It's like, sorry.
Yeah, but they got to specify it because you know how people are.
Yeah, it's just like, come on, man. But so that's in unsurprising news. Another bit, Sony closed down the Manchester-based VR studio that they had, which didn't develop anything, which is curious. I'm like wondering what they worked on, if they helped anybody work on anything in VR, because they didn't actually put out anything at that studio. So it's just like, they if you don't release anything, they just shut them down. I guess that's why, because maybe too much trouble or who knows, but they closed down a studio, so...
Just seemed like it was some kind of like back end support studio that didn't really need, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think they, because let's see, it's another one of its UK developer teams, this time Manchester-based studio, blah, blah, blah. This marks the, oh, this is the third studio that they closed. Yeah, I know that. Let's see, the Manchester studio had taken on some of the staff from Evolution when it was established in 2015. So it was only 2015, they got put together and was made from people who left Evolution when they closed Evolution. Who, of course, did Drive Club. And then, yeah, they're going to work on VR products for Sony's PSVR headset, but the unannounced product was never released. Commenting to GameIndustry.biz, Sony confirmed the closure, citing its, quote, efforts to improve efficiency and operational effectiveness, which is such corporate speak for we got to trim the fat and save money somewhere.
Ugh, bummer.
Because that's all that means.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know, I totally forgot, too, that they had this studio. I guess because it obviously they haven't put anything outside or shown anything. You know, you just kind of forget about it. Versus someone like when they closed Rockstar or Guerrilla Cambridge. You're like, you know who those people are. And then the Fallout 76 Wastelander update got a new trailer and release date. This, of course, is the delayed content that's going to be coming to where it reintroduces human NPCs back into the world to fit with the story and lore of the actual game when it launched. Because obviously the whole idea is that you're out there, there's this scourge, and you got to go ahead and figure out what's the source of it. You take care of it through the course of the game. And then now it's like, okay, well, you did that. And I think they did some other content as well, some like story stuff. I don't remember. But it's like now that you've taken care of the problem, the humans can, I'm assuming, come out of the vault. Some of them will come out of the vault, I believe, or if there's another one, maybe. I know you do come across the vault in the game. That was part of their one of their modes, but they, I think, closed it down because people were exploiting it in some manner. But it could just be people that left that whole area because they do show some like outsiders wearing like skull masks and stuff. But looks pretty cool. Some new monsters are going to introduce as well. I might have to check it out once that update hits. I did enjoy my time with Fallout 76 when it first came out. And I did basically play through the whole thing. So, and then the last bit of news is that Dan Houser is going to be leaving Rockstar next month. This is during a financial call with, you know, Rockstar was just having it, and they just kind of offhandedly mentioned that he's leaving. Of course,
kind of big thing to talk about, and they're just kind of like, "Oh yeah, he's leaving the company."
Yeah, well, I think it's because, you know, the Houser brothers don't like doing interviews. Like they hardly do interviews. That way, whenever they do one, it's always like, "Oh my god, like IGN got an interview with, you know, the Houser brothers," and then it's like, you know, this, so it's huge. I should be supposed to say like they just don't want to be in the spotlight. So I don't want to come out there and say like, hey, I'm leaving. Like, they don't want the kind of attention. But it's like, it's, you're still going to get that attention when people get it in these conference calls. Like, it's going to be big news. Especially when you worked on, like, you're the writer, one of the writers on, like, the biggest games you've done at your company. Because everybody's going to want, like, okay, well, obviously you have other talented people there, but how much will this impact other games going forward? Like, the quality of the writing of those games? Will this, if he was a big, you know, opponent of rapid fire releases of these big titles, because obviously they initially, the first set of PS2, like GTAs, like they pushed them out pretty quick, and then it was like, you know, you get GTA 4, and then it took a while, and you get Red Dead, and then you get like GTA 5 took a while to get there, and then Red Dead 2 took a while. So you have these big gaps. So it's like, is that because, was that driven by them, like, now we want to get this perfect, versus obviously they make a ton of money, but you figure if Rockstar is kind of going like, you know, other people going like, hey, you know, can we take two? It's like, can we get some stuff a little quicker? And it's like, no, I don't want to do that. But yeah, who knows? I mean, obviously, I believe Sam Houser's the other brother. He's still there. And then I think they have a third writing part. I think it's a woman. I forget her name. Someone brought it up in a podcast. I don't remember who it was, and I don't see it in this article. But I think they have a third one as well. I don't know how recently that person got brought on, but they weren't obviously there from the very beginning when the Houser brothers created, you know, essentially Rockstar Games. But that's some pretty big news there. And then that's basically it for the news. Not much else. So yeah, I guess we can go ahead and jump into what we've been playing. Izzy, you've been gone for quite a while. What have you been playing since you've been gone?
I've still been playing the same series I was playing before. I'm finishing up Bioshock Infinite, and I'm pretty damn close to the end. I'm close enough that all the spoilers have been revealed. I just need to like finish the final chapter or two. It's been an interesting game. The biggest problem I've had with Bioshock Infinite is the hopping back and forth between the various tears to like solve problems doesn't really make sense to me, because as far as I can tell, she has no idea which world she's going to, right? When she opens a tear.
Yeah.
So she's essentially leaving her world by opening a tear, going to another world to get a solution to a problem back in her world, and then just is coincidentally going through another tear with said solution where it ends up working, but not necessarily like back to her original home, correct?
Yeah, she does, as you go along, she gets more confident and in control of her abilities. Because you definitely see that at the end. Like, by the end of the game, there's a moment where she becomes fully in control of her power. And I think it's just one of those things that she's getting stronger with it as it goes on. And maybe, like, if you're tied back to your original, I wouldn't even call it original, yeah, like, 'cause, you know, spoilers, it's not. But to the one you've been in, like, you probably have some sort of, you know, this metaphysical connection to it that you know how to get back to it versus just randomly, like, blindly open up tears to other realities.
That's been my only, like, complaint so far, is that it reminded me of, Quantum Leap, where he just keeps going like into new worlds. And I was thinking like, well, yeah, you know, you've solved this problem, but you didn't solve the problem in your world. You're just kind of like a good Samaritan going from world to world.
He's trying to get back to his own because he doesn't know how to get there.
Right.
Maybe you can think more like Sliders. Like, she kind of knows, like, just go here, you know, something a little off in this reality, you know?
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, it's, yeah.
But yeah, she definitely, I think it's because she's getting stronger. So at that point in the game, she's got more confidence versus the beginning.
So that was like my only question was basically, you know, what is actually going on with the tears? Because they don't, maybe I missed something along the way, but I've been pretty damn good about like searching everything. And I don't think they ever really explain, like they explain that she can control or can't really control the tears at the start and essentially just opens them up at the start and they lead different places. And they make it pretty clear that like where they lead is like random at the start of the game. She can't control whether it's something that helps you or hurts you or is just totally useless, like just doesn't exist. And then as you go on throughout the game, she starts getting the power, like she starts opening tears that more coincidentally help you. And I mean, obviously there's the gameplay ones, which I'm not counting, which are always like helpful,
right?
And then near the end, like she just opened up the tear to the weird tornado area to like free herself and blow up that machine that has her trapped, and then she opens that tear multiple times. But I don't think they ever explicitly say like that she's opening up, that she can control like which reality she opens up tears to.
I don't think consciously she can, but she might have like that, again, some subconscious ability that she's not fully aware of, where I know, like, we need this thing, and because of that need and agency to get whatever it is to help the, you know, Booker and her out of a situation, it's like, it's second nature. Like, she just opened, like, maybe she doesn't have control. She's like, oh, I want to go to a timeline where, you know, Kennedy was assassinated or something. Like, it's just like, this is what we need. And it's just like, okay, go. Like, she doesn't know what's there necessarily, but she knows it's there subconsciously. Right. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, multiple realities, so I know. But I feel like that just could be the case. I'd have to go back and replay, but I always felt like that was kind of like how it was, that as she got stronger, you know, just, it's like this character is just totally unaware of their power and, you know. But,
so
yeah, I really liked the end of that game.
Yeah, that was a little odd. In general, I've really liked the game. It feels like a Bioshock game without rehashing Bioshock 1 and 2, which was my biggest concern, is that like Bioshock 1 and 2 have such a unique feel to them that I think I mentioned this before I started playing. I had no idea how they were going to make a third game set in somewhere that wasn't Rapture feel like BioShock. Because Rapture is almost like... Rapture at this point is almost like a character in BioShock. And being set on Columbia instead of Rapture seemed like it would make the game less enjoyable or less BioShocky. Like, not a bad game, but just not a BioShock game. And they've done a really good job of still making Columbia fit into like the lore and everything. And I know that there's DLC that like directly ties it into game one and two, but that doesn't exist during the main game. So,
well,
kind of it sort of does. I know, but like, you know what I'm trying to say. It's
right.
You're not physically going to Rapture throughout 99% of the game. It's not like
right.
Like, the game is still set in Columbia, and it. I was surprised by how well it still works and fits together. I don't understand why they changed to Vigors instead of Plasmids. I don't know if there was like a reason for that or lore. I haven't been able to find lore that describes why they switched.
I think it's just what they wanted to call them when they took them from. When they took him from Rapture.
But also, aren't they like slightly different? Because I thought the plasmids couldn't be used by anyone, and the Vigors, it seems like anyone can use them, or at least that was impression I got.
Well,
it seems
could
like
just
they're an improved version.
Yeah, it could be a case of where they, you know, they open up the rift to the scientist that creates the plasmids, and then they get them, and they probably just rework them on their end into the Vigors of how they want them to be. Like, it could just be the thing, like, you learned it from the scientist in BioShock 1, and then you just tweak it on your end to go, okay, now, you know, you have... Because isn't there a scientist that you've come across in Columbia somewhere? I thought there was, like, another one. There might maybe...
I mean, the scientist, like, there's the scientist that worked with him, whose name is already escaping me. Holy shit. That they like worked back and forth through the rifts.
Well, that aren't the twins the ones who also worked back and forth in the rifts?
The twins were the people that...
Well, cause they're not technically twins. It's like one is the version that's a man in one reality and one's a woman in the other reality.
And they...
But they worked together, didn't they?
The Leticia people, they kind of worked together, but they were more like unfortunate collateral damage scientists, it seemed. It didn't seem like they were particularly like involved until their experiment. Like, they worked for Comstock,
right.
And
but they were studying rifts, weren't they?
Yeah, well, yeah. And then their rift like turned Comstock sterile, and he got Alger angry, and then in the experiment, they got trapped in like some area between the rifts or something. I'm not really sure what happened to them. It basically implies they got like stuck between the rifts.
Yeah, because they're the ones who helped Comstock get Elizabeth in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they go against him.
Yeah, yeah. Because they realize, and they're great characters too. I love those two characters. They're always talking. You know, just how it's because every time you die, it's basically the cycle is repeating itself. Like, that's what they're getting at in the beginning of the game. Because you die in the baptism, and then it's just every time you die, it's essentially, it's a new reality now. In this reality, Booker died. Now it's a new one. Now it's, okay, he dies here.
You actually die in the baptism?
Yeah, because when you die, like, everything goes white, and it kind of starts over. It's essentially the idea that, I think there's something that hints at it, too. Either it's dialogue or something's tweaked. But that's the whole, they're kind of pushing that whole concept that, when you get in the boat, especially, and when you get up top and you, like, you, I think it's like you pick the birdcage or the whatever, and they turn around, they have the board, it's got all the check marks on it. It's clearly indicating that this isn't the first time this has happened. So, like, in the baptism, a lot of people assume that's one point where you die because they just held you too long and you drown, and then now it's a new one. And you keep going with that one every time. Again, every time you die, it's a new reality. But, yeah, that's it.
I feel like I need to like sit down and read the lore of this game more.
Yeah, probably listen to. I'd say just download some spoiler casts from back when it came out, because usually those people that are on those are like the ones that were like hardcore, and they talk about a lot of stuff. They might miss some things, but it's always fun to hear. Like all that stuff, but
yeah, I've definitely enjoyed the game. I'm playing. I gotta get all the trophies still, and I suspect that one of them is going to make me replay the game. But it's been enjoyable. I probably prefer BioShock 1 the most still, just because it kind of started the whole trend and it has nostalgia for me. But then BioShock Infinite is definitely a close second. And then BioShock 2 is just hot garbage compared to both of these. Like, what the fuck happened with BioShock 2?
Different studio.
I don't get it. This Infinite and 1 are so good, and 2 is so bad. The story is a bit convoluted to the point where I wish I had paid a bit more attention near the start to all of the like sightseer points and all of the, I can't remember what they're called, the kinetoscopes or whatever that play like little stories. Mm-hmm. I wasn't actively searching all of them out. Like, I was just kind of going across the ones that I found on the way because I didn't realize how closely they were tied into the main story. And then like halfway through, I found one that like directly talked about Elizabeth's mother. And I was like, oh, these are actually like major plot points hidden in this thing. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't realize they were quite as prominent. So I feel like I missed stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably could watch it like a, like after you're done, even though you know the end, you just watch like an ending explained video or YouTube lore video or something like that. A VODI video of it.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, good game. I like the revolver in that game, and I like the using the sky hook and just zipping around.
I pretty much survived off of
the food and the trash cans.
A hand cannon. No, well, yeah, but the hand cannon thing and the murder of crows has gotten me through like 90% of this game.
Yeah. So I could see if I was to play that, I'd maybe use like different vigors that I didn't use previously, because I tend to just always go to the same. Once I find like the ones I like, I'm like that with anything that has a wide range of magic. It's like once I have the ones I like, I just stick with it.
Well, some of them are so freaking good compared to the others. Like the damn like founder's guns or whatever, the guns you get in the start of the game are so much better than the guns you get at the end of the game that there's just no point using it.
Yeah. And I never did all the vigor combinations either, but I did like a couple, but I always felt like I'd rather just do the one and just shoot it out.
But I usually just shock people and then just shoot them. That's been my strategy for all of BioShock. Like shoot them with the shock thing and then just unload into them. And it works. It's effective. That's really all I've been playing.
Yeah. What about you, Zai? What have you been playing?
Pokemon.
She says.
You playing?
Shame.
Oh, that's right. I saw your tweet. Yeah.
So they added a max raid event where you can get Gigantamax Milsari, which evolves into Alcremie. So I have a lot of cake Pokemon now. So what I'm doing is I'm collecting as many as I can, and I'm going to make all of the different variations of the Alcremies to have them. And I got
you're literally collecting cake Pokemon.
I am, because they got all the different candies that you can give them, the little decorations, and then you make them different colors depending on when you spin to evolve them. And I want them all.
If you were a trainer, you'd have your thing. It would be Eevee and cake Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. I am like every obsessed.
Trainer has their every trainer has their weird, creepy obsession. You found yours.
So I have a lot. I have a lot now. I've just been doing that, just like hoarding them. And I got a shiny one, and I'm so happy. That's all I ever wanted out of this game.
Nice. Yeah, it's always good when you finally get that one thing. But nothing besides Pokemon?
Still playing My Time at Portia.
Right.
Like,
didn't that kind of come out a long time ago?
Yeah, but I played it when it came out on the Switch, and I hated it because it was bad. So
yeah, of course,
I was like,
obviously.
It was just like a really bad port. There was a lot of stuff wrong with it. It was kind of unplayable sometimes. So I was like, well, I could play it on PC because that's obviously going to be the better version anyway, and I have a really good computer. I just didn't want to rebuy it. But now it's available on Xbox Game Pass. So I just decided to download it and play it. Might as well.
Nice. What about Michael? Has he been playing anything in the background you've been seeing? Like, oh, what is this game?
No, he's playing Pokemon Y because he wanted to replay through it, but with like a really overpowered starting team. So I had hacked in a bunch of like level one legendaries for him. So he's just been playing through that.
Yeah, I played more. I haven't finished Journey to Savage Planet yet, but I'm playing more of that. Still fun to enjoy. I was playing it while I was watching Dracula on Netflix, and then I was like, all right, I gotta stop and finish and watch Dracula, because now I'm at a point where I gotta pay a little more closer attention and enjoy watching the show. But I haven't picked up Patapon like I wanted to, but I did have him play more Apex. I purchased a SteelSeries Arctis Pro with the game deck as a new headset. Easily just kill the fly.
I missed this one. Oh, you missed her.
Accuracy down. You got to debuff.
Go fly, go.
I got it.
Oh no.
But yeah, I talked about last time how I wanted to get a new looking at getting a new headset. So I picked up the SteelSeries Arctis Pro with the game deck, because I wanted to go wired again, because I talked about how my Wi-Fi had been causing issues on my headset a lot more recently, especially during the evenings when everybody's got all their Wi-Fi stuff on. I'm assuming neighbors as well, because all the channels are taken up. So it was causing me to disconnect randomly. Really annoying. But yeah, I've been using it, and it's a nice headset. I like it. It's pretty comfortable. My only problem is that the depth of the ear cushions, so like from where the cushion itself rests around your ear to the where the housing of the speaker is, isn't as deep as it is on the Astros. So if I were to press lightly on the sides of the headset, my earlobes could touch the fabric over the speaker drivers. So that's the only downside. They're not as deep as I would like. Maybe if I had like, I only have the fabric cushions. I guess if I bought their like leather ones or whatever they have, maybe they have a little less give in them. So that way you could, you know, not have to deal with that. And yeah, it's weird to get used to having like all the buttons are flipped too. The mute and the volume's on the left instead of the right headphone. And then using the headset with the cord's so weird now because I haven't used one in so long. The game deck is nice. It's basically, instead of having all the controls on the headphone, on the headset itself, it's just on the game deck, which is right in front of me on my desk or on my table. It's got a big range of between the volume adjustment on there and then also the balance between game chat and the game audio. But yeah, so one of the things that's on this one is that it has a bigger audio range. So most headsets are 20 to 20,000 hertz. This one is 20 to 40,000. Now they say like people can only hear up to 20. You know, that's kind of, I don't know. They say that. I think it's like marketing speak, probably like people can't see past 30. I don't know. You know, that kind of stuff. But it's like I can hear the difference, especially in Apex. I play in both. I play one round with my Astros, which I like a lot still. Like I didn't have to get rid of them. I still have them. And then I play my SteelSeries, and it's just there's so much more detail in the audio and also much more volume to each of those individual sounds. Like the gun sounds on the SteelSeries are just, they pack a damn punch, man. Like the new sniper rifle in Apex is just like fucking bat to the head. Like it's just douche. You hear that shit. And I'm like, oh, wow. I haven't done any equalizer balancing like I have with my Astros, because I made those specifically more catered towards footsteps. Essentially lowered the bass on some of the guns, increased the footstep audio. So I need to look into that and figure out how to balance it. But I'm really liking the headset so far. The the microphone on it is retractable, which fine, you know, whatever. But yeah, I like it a lot. Like I said, the audio range is great, which threw me out first when I first listened to it. I turned up max volume and I'm sitting in the PS4 main menu, and it has this, I have a Subnautica background, so it has a Subnautica music track that's playing. And I was like, this doesn't go as loud as my Astros. But then once I got into a game, I was like, okay, this is really loud. I don't think I like the digital surround sound that they do on the Still series. I like it more on the Astros. I haven't used it enough. I use it like a little bit. But I like it on the Astros because it's not like obviously every game now, it's always stereo audio, and they balance it really well to kind of get that, can pretty much make a surround sound anyways using just stereo. But I like the way the Astro kind of changes that audio signature to make it sound more like you're outside, which is what I love, especially in Apex or Battlefield, because even though I have surround sound, you know, in stereo essentially, because again, the audio signatures, it doesn't, it sounds not muted, but it sounds like I'm still like in a more of an enclosed space. Even though I can hear stuff in certain directions at a distance away and know exactly where it is, it just, I like that open nature sound of the Astros. So yeah, I'm going to keep using them and see how they go. Like I said, I'm liking them so far in just the stereo. I haven't used them much with anything else. The only thing I don't like is I wish the game deck itself had like a power button, because if I put my PS4 in rest mode, it's still powered, which still powers my headset. So I had to like unplug it from the PlayStation or unplug my headset. That way it's not just on overnight, because there's like some RGB lighting in the ear, in the ear portions that goes through. I'm like, well, I don't need that on all night long. but yeah, I'm liking so far. And Apex, the new season Apex is great. I like when they do map changes because it always changes up the meta. And then, of course, they introduce a whole new legend who changes the meta entirely as well. but yeah, it's I like the headset. Really enjoying Apex. Savage Plan's really fun. And then, yeah, I haven't played much of... I need to go back into Frostpunk and play some of those scenarios. I've been watching the streamer. He's playing Frostpunk right now. I'm like, I got to get back in that game, just because it's really good and I got to play those other scenarios. But yeah, that's all I've been playing. Just waiting for stuff to hit. Like, there's something coming out this month, but I don't think it's... I can't remember what it was. I don't think it's anything huge, but I think it's something like, that could be interesting. But I don't know. I'm blanking on it. Yeah. All right. Well, I didn't have anything else. I thought I had some notes on... I could have swore I had, like, I got to complain about this game thing. But I don't think I actually copied down the note for it, so...
Don't remember what you needed to complain about? That's sad.
Nope, I don't remember. But I know it wasn't my cousin. It was funny, though, on my headset last night, I was like, so my cousin, he picked up the... Did I talk about the back paddle controller attachment last podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he picked up one up as well. So he logged into Apex, and he's like, okay, I want to try it out. Like, Best Buy finally shipped him his. So we go into Apex, and we get in there, and I invite him to a party, and I'm talking to him. Dude's not talking. And I'm just like, motherfucker, not turning on his damn microphone. Just talking to everything for like 10 minutes, and I tell him, I'm like, yo, where's your mic at? And he's like, it says I'm talking. And I look at it, and yeah, in the party chat, it says he's talking. And then I'm like, well, let's go to game chat. Go to game chat, and it's like, nah, he's like, I see it moving, but I don't hear it. I'm like, what's going on? Then I look at my game deck, and I had my balance set all the way to game and no more chat, because the night before, the last game I played, I typically, when I play randoms, I just mute everybody. But I wanted to see how the balancing worked, like the range of variance in it, when people were talking. And I just happened to get in a game where two guys were friends and they were talking. And then it just got to this point where I was just annoyed with them. So I just turned it all the way off. And then after that match was done, I just never switched it back. So it was me the whole time, just user error. I was like, why can't I hear you? Where's your mic? I was like, oh, it's me the whole time.
Oh, that's right. I muted people because I didn't want to hear them.
Yeah, my bad. I got to rebalance my game deck and put it up to even. But
you gave your cousin ammunition to use against you.
Eh, he'll forget about it. But, wow. All right, well, I guess that'll wrap it up. Like I said, we had a lot of news this week, but it's mainly just financial stuff. Nothing as big as it was last week. Last week, we had a ton of stuff. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. So thank you all for tuning in. Listen, thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Saya, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you all next time.
Bye.
Later.